Farewell to the icon, hello to the Rainmaker, and the stakes for WrestleMania become ever clearer. It's been another big week in professional wrestling. We're here to talk about it all on Earning the Push. I am Jack Murley, professional broadcaster, alongside professional rugby player Charlie Beckett. Good morning, Mr. Beckett. How goes it?
Morning. Good morning, everyone, or afternoon or evening, whatever time of day you are listening to this. Yeah, it goes well. Thank you, Mr. Murley. It goes well. How are you?
I'm good. It's been one of those weeks, but that is fine. We power on through. Spring is in the air. The daffodils are coming up. Wrestling is amazing. What's not to love? Why can't we start on a positive note?
Exactly. I mean, there's plenty not to love, but that's not what this podcast's about. We're about the good stuff here.
And we're going to get straight into it this week. We're not going to muck around because there is absolutely loads to talk about. The Rock acknowledges Roman Reigns on SmackDown. Our first Hall of Fame inductees announced earlier this week as well. We got a big gauntlet match for the IC titles and loads to talk about. He's Charlie_Beckett on the socials. I am Jack_Murley. We are kicking off with AEW Revolution because AEW needed a big week. And they absolutely delivered one with a relaunch of AEW Dynamite with a new set and colour scheme on Wednesday. And before that, one hell of a pay-per-view from the Greensboro Coliseum with AEW Revolution. The highlight, clearly, the retirement of the icon Sting, who went out as a winner with Darby Allin and the Young Bucks in a bloody, brutal and violent tag team match. AEW played a blinder with everything about Sting's retirement. Why are you chuckling at me, Mr. Beckett?
Did you not see my other arm just popping? Editing and realize I was recording in here. And then nip off very quickly.
I did. I mean, people listening to the podcast will not understand this, but she did have a shockmaster moment where she just came through the door.
That's really tickled me. Sorry. That does not happen off. That's really, really tickled me.
She sort of poked her head in and then poked her head out. Yes. So she's welcome to give her thoughts on Sting versus the Young Bucks.
I'm not sure how many she'll have. No, I think you were probably going to ask what I thought of the pay-per-view before I started laughing, weren't you?
I was. I was talking about what a bloody, brutal and violent tag team match it was as you chuckled to yourself, you lover of violence, you.
Yeah, no, it was. I thought the pay-per-view as a whole was excellent. And I think you said this to me off air or in our notes. I might be about to steal your thunder, but I think you are right when you say the thing I probably think AEW has done best has been this last run for Sting. It's been the run he deserves, the run that the fans were clamouring for him to have. And it's just been a joy to watch him finally tick all the boxes he needed to in wrestling in a safe and exciting and fun way and go out on his terms. So I thought that was perfectly handled. I thought his sons being there was just excellent. So cool seeing them as Surfer and Wolfpack Sting. Also, they are jacked to hell, his boys. And the Stinger Splash, that what they put in, like, those boys can wrestle whether they want to or not. Those boys can go. But that tag match was just something else, wasn't it? Are we going to beat around the bush, or are we just going to get straight into Darby Allin and what he did?
Let's talk about Darby before we get back to the other bits and pieces, because that was possibly, in the history of Darby Allin, insanity, which includes him being thrown downstairs, just, you know, wrestling with his hands tied behind his back. If you've not seen this, and I suspect most of you have, Darby Allin off at least 16-foot ladder, swantons through a plate glass pane propped between four chairs, and the blood that started pouring out of his back immediately. I don't mind a bit of hardcore, but blimey, that was tough to watch.
Yeah, it was graphically gory, wasn't it? Without being, it almost felt natural as other, because it's not like one of those like ridiculous shots to a face and then blood spurt. And it was the way he went through the glass, and then it took about 2 or 3 seconds, then just thousands of cuts on his back just started seeping blood. We were sat at lunch the day after training, and one of the boys was speaking about, oh, I saw this on social media, and one of the lads was like, oh, there's no way it was real glass then. And I was like, well, just have a look at this. And I showed them the video, and they're like, okay, that was real, wasn't it? They're like, what's he doing? I was like, I don't know. I don't really know how to justify what he was doing there. Up there, I genuinely think up there is one of the most mental spots in wrestling, full stop. Like, I can't think of something that's made me stop and go, that's berserk and bonkers like it for a long, long time. We've had some crazy spots recently, but for this, for some reason, this one, everyone who listens to this knows I'm not a huge lover of death matches and the mental side of things, but This one didn't rub me up the wrong way for some reason. I don't know if it's because Darby Allin's earned the right to do things like this, because he does all the time. I don't know. I quite enjoyed is a weird word, but I quite enjoyed this spot.
It didn't rub me up the wrong way, but I just couldn't believe he'd done it. Because there is no artifice, there is no fakeness, to put it bluntly, about that. That is a man throwing himself through a plate glass window. And the results on his back were exactly what happens when you throw yourself through a plate glass window. That is the natural outcome. It's like seeing someone thrown through a windscreen without being too graphic. And just for me, you know, you go, all right, you don't need to do it, but should your boss be stopping you doing it? And the fact we're talking about this before Sting's retirement shows it clearly either took something away from or added to the match, depending on your perspective. Here's one for you. What disgusted you more? Darby doing that spot or Hangman drinking Swerve's blood? Because that was the other one we were...
I knew you were going to ask this. Yeah. And absolutely, I'd rather watch Darby go through the glass every time than the drinking of the blood. I don't know why, but for some reason that I didn't enjoy that as much. It's crazy because if we're talking about like the safety of the wrestlers, I reckon they've probably checked if Swerve's blood's okay, and I reckon it probably is okay. I reckon he's a fairly healthy man.
Do you think they checked it like a sommelier at the West restaurant? They just
smelt it and spun it round a bit of a glass. Oh yes, that's delicious stuff. I'm getting hints of a floral note with a dark chocolate coming through.
We'll take the bottle, please. Yes.
Yes, yeah. No, I'd rather watch Darby go to the glass, but it's interesting what you said about whether the boss should be stopping it. These spots are fine, and we will talk about them in a good way and enjoy them, quote-unquote, until one goes wrong. And when one goes wrong, we'll all be like going, why did he let him do it? But we can't have both ways. We can't sit here and say we thought it added to the match, we enjoyed it, it's going viral on Instagram, on Twitter, it's a great thing for wrestling. And then if one goes wrong, we can't then be like, oh, Tony Khan's got this wrong, he shouldn't be letting them do it. We can't have it both ways. So if we as fans and as viewers of wrestling are going to sit here and be like, we love this, this is brilliant, we can't then if one goes wrong, and God forbid one does, I hope we never have to have that conversation. But if one does or someone gets hurt, you can't then decide that you've got a problem with Tony Khan letting them do it if you don't now.
Yeah, that's a very fair point. And you know, it's just Darby doing what Darby does. And at the end of the day, you sort of go, you're a grown man, no one's making you. You clearly want to do this. This is your MO. So let's put that to one side. I genuinely think this may be the best thing, Sting's retirement, that AEW has ever done. Now, I'm going to caveat that by saying I'll take any argument that says it's top three with selling out Wembley, and I still think that all-out pay-per-view when Danielson and Cole debuted is one of the best wrestling pay-per-views of all time. But they gave that man the send-off he deserved. And to do that as, quote, the secondary company, but nothing they did seemed second to what WWE would have done. If I was looking and saying, how would WWE have handled this? I don't think they could have handled it any better than AEW did, from the special entrance videos to the match itself to the way it was laid out. And I think Tony Khan and whoever was involved in that deserve all the credit in the world, because I think it was as good as we could possibly have expected.
I entirely agree. And I've said many times this podcast that I think WWE are the kings and queens of video packages. Their video packages are second to none. I don't believe that WWE could have done a better job with the video packages summing up Sting's career than AEW did. And that is the highest praise I can give them. That is absolutely the highest praise I can give them. I entirely agree with you, Jack. I don't think a single thing would have been done better or could have been done better by any other wrestling company, including WWE. I thought it was verging on perfection for a man who deserves it and probably thought 5 years ago he wasn't going to get this.
And also, WWE owns all the footage. Like, they own all the WCW, all the NWA footage. So the fact that AEW were able to put something together like that, relying on, frankly, odds and sods they could get together from New Japan and things like that, I just thought it was spectacular. Elsewhere in AEW, I mean, they have needed a big week for a while, and they have delivered. We're going to talk about some bits coming up in a while, but Will Ospreay, banger with Takeshita in Revolution, just amazing match. And then at the end of Dynamite, a tease between Danielson and Will Ospreay. Now, that is money written all over it.
Yeah, Will Ospreay has come into this company and straight away put himself at the top tier of this man's a superstar. The match with Takeshita was a joke. It was like watching action figures wrestle. Like, it was just, It's just an absolute joke of a wrestling match. I know it's not everyone's cup of tea because it's very, very fast flowing and incredible. I think it's brilliant. I really enjoyed it. And yeah, throw him straight up there with Danielson. Get him in there because I want to see the mind games of Danielson work with him as well, trying to slow him down, trying to wrestle him. I think get him at the top of that card and push him to the moon. And we love seeing British stars at the tops of cards. Let's go.
And also, sometimes AEW has been a little guilty of bringing people in and, in our opinion, not giving them the push they deserve straight away. They've sort of been bogged down in other things. Well, there's no one bigger than Bryan Danielson. And go with it now. Like why, if you're trying to build Will Ospreay, which you've got to assume they are, to main event All In at Wembley, that's got to be the goal here. You need to be giving him credible victories over credible stars. And Danielson-Ospreay, for whatever reason, wasn't a match I had at the top of my head when he signed. And you go, well, how could it not be? Because that is just a dream match. That is going to be amazing. And next week, AEW has its big business-themed Dynamite in Boston with the expectation that Mercedes Moné will debut. And then the week after that, they're in Toronto, where we're getting Christian Cage versus Adam Copeland in an I Quit match. So we've had Revolution, the debut of Okada this week, probably Mercedes Moné next week, and then Cage Copeland 3 the week after. Tony Khan, you know, like in Uno where you play your +2, +2, +2, +2? That's what Tony Khan feels like he's doing here.
Yeah, massively. It almost feels like the start of a new season, doesn't it, for AEW? Like they need to really build on this now. They've had the huge eyes on them for Sting's retirement, a really good Dynamite. They've rebranded Dynamite. Ospreay's in, Okada's in. It seems very safe, Marie, that Mercedes Moné is going to be in next week, and she is a gigantic star. Gigantic. She's the biggest, up there with the biggest stars they've brought over. You then go to Cage Copeland 3, like we said, like for all the questions you have on how that's been handled, why there's been such big gaps in the story, why we haven't seen them for a while, etc., that is a massive match. And in Canada, you would think over the next 3 weeks, the next month or so, AEW will get some traction, will get a bit of momentum going again. You've got to then keep on top of that and keep building. This is a chance, it seems, to really right the ship a little bit, get eyes back on the product and get going. Because that's the thing, when you watch AEW, it is not bad at all. It is a good wrestling show. It's just quite disjointed and there aren't that many reasons to watch all the time. You've got now new stars coming in with new stories, new set, giving me reasons to watch. I'm here watching, now keep me here.
That's what I was going to ask. You, in a way, you and me are the target they need to get back. Probably since All Out Wembley, the Punk situation, there has been a chunk of the audience that has gone and has not watched AEW. WWE, as we're going to talk about, continues to be red hot. So the question is, in your viewing week now, have the events of the past week and what's coming up made you go, I'm going to put time into seeing AEW? Not all of it, but I'm going to be making time in my schedule now.
Yeah, there's definitely bits I want to watch. Like I made sure I saw Sting's retirement match. I made sure I saw other bits from that pay-per-view, from Ospreay, the world title match, bits on that pay-per-view. I didn't see all of it. Like I haven't got that time. I didn't see all of it, but I saw bits. I will make sure I see when Mercedes Moné comes in. I made sure I saw Will Ospreay, Bryan Danielson. Like, so there are bits I've got to see. I'll watch Copeland Cage 3, of course I will. So yes, that's more than 4 or 5 weeks ago. There probably wasn't much of anything I was making sure I watched. So that they are definitely getting me back in. Like I say, the thing is that you are giving me more and more to keep me. Like, I don't watch every single minute of WWE. I don't believe anyone can watch every single minute of all the wrestlings out there because there's just too much.
Oh, someone's listening to this going, Charlie, I think you'll find I watched Main Event and it was a tremendous main event. It was one of the best ones ever.
Can you give that character a name for me quickly, please?
John.
John, okay, good. Thanks, John.
John the Mark.
John Markson. I wish I had as much free time as you, sir. Yeah, they've definitely got me back in and more interested than I have been in a while. And I hope that stays. And I hope I'm having to make out more time to watch AEW because I've said it a million times. I'll say it again because I think people think I hate AEW. I do not. I want there to be a really, really, really good AEW because the more good wrestling on the telly, the better it is for the industry and the better it is for us as fans.
Yeah.
There's more good wrestling to watch. I just don't believe it's been that great in the last 6 months.
No, and this is a work in progress, but for all the... And let's be frank, 2 years ago, if you were listening to various incarnations of this podcast, you'd have heard us going, God, WWE's dire. give us a mid-card, give us a... So we are, in the grand scheme of wrestling, we've been as critical of WWE as we have of AEW. Just one for me on a personal note, Jim Ross back behind the announce desk, calling the main events. What a moment for him and Tony Schiavone, calling Sting's last match, having followed his career so much. Jim Ross makes everything better. I've got nothing else to say. I just love having him there.
I completely agree. And talking of commentary, what a wild turn of events, and how brilliant was it that Michael Cole and Pat McAfee could say on Monday Night Raw, what a send-off for Sting last night. What an amazing match. Yes, they didn't name AEW, but they may as well have. And I just thought that was beautiful and brilliant. Yeah, I loved that.
Such class. And why not? Like, that is such... It's what wrestling needs. Like, people assume there is tribalism. I think they think there's tribalism on this podcast. There's not. It follows...
Me versus Jack. It's Tribe Becky versus Tribe Merle on Earning the Push.
Tribal combat. That's what we need. Me versus you. Last about 20 seconds before I get murdered. But wrestling should be fun. Sting was a big part of WWE and would have been a big part had his career not got curtailed. Say thank you. Like, it makes everyone seem bigger. And frankly, I think wrestling needs as much grown-up maturity at times as it can get. Now, speaking of WWE, they've not been resting on their laurels this week. The big news came on SmackDown when The Rock formally proposed a tag team match that since Vegas we thought we were getting, with him and Roman Reigns against Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania. But for me, the big news coming out of that segment was Roman forcing The Rock to acknowledge him, and this segment was cinema.
Yeah, this was outstanding. And they just, what I love is that on YouTube, they just stuck the full 33 minutes of it. They're like, look, we can't get a 5-minute highlight package. Here's your 33 minutes. Just enjoy, ladies and gentlemen. And it was just sensational. I've said it a million times, this is absolutely not what was intended. Oh boy, The Rock did a 21-minute Instagram video just talking all about it, which was just, what is happening?
Did you watch all of that video?
Yes, of course, I watched it all. He's like a demented madman. He's so angry, it's beautiful. And when he says, Cody Rhodes, I wish from the bottom of my heart, F your story. I was like, oh, this is just excellent. But I tell you what I'm not a fan of, poor old Pharaoh the dog is catching strays from The Rock. It's just, keep the dog. We all know this podcast how I feel about dogs. Keep the dogs out of it, Rock. That's the most heel thing he's done.
Proper Hollywood heel going after Pharaoh. Because he knows as well that just the arrogance to go and cut a 21-minute Instagram promo in this day and age, he knows what he's doing and he is loving it. But he was upstage by Roman Reigns. Now, the way they shot that, where Roman just stops him and says, I need you to do one thing for him. When has The Rock ever been subservient to anyone since 98? 99? Like, it doesn't happen until it does, and chills.
The absolute cojones on him as well to stop The Rock mid, can you smell what the, he was going to say, the bloodline is cooking. Like, The Rock needed that, though. Sorry, Roman needed that. In this story, Roman was very much playing second fiddle to The Rock, which is fine. He's The Rock. But for this story to have the intrigue we wanted to, he needed that moment where he asserts his dominance again, makes it very clear that he's the main character of this whole story. He is the tribal chief. I don't care who you are. I don't care how big a star you are. You have to acknowledge me. And I think it was a very, very important, a pivotal moment in this storyline moving forward. I thought it was done brilliantly. You could see The Rock was not happy about doing it, but did it. It was just, like you say, it was cinema of the highest order. It was excellent.
It was just, that's what it needed. It needed Roman to get his cojones back. And you know that come WrestleMania 41, when I'm sure The Rock and Roman Reigns will be squaring off, that's the catalyst. That is the moment that they will play over and over and over again. And again, I'll say it again, I think we're past what happened on the SmackDown when Rock came back and tried to Bigfoot everyone. Everything he has done since then has just been brilliant. Like, who else would The Rock be subservient to? Who else? But he is hit Rock, Roman, same level now, just because of that one segment.
Yeah, we've said it many times. This absolutely was not the plan, but they have stumbled across gold here. And all I'm enjoying seeing really at the moment on socials is people just discussing how wild this night two main event is going to be. Like, it's going to be, because the ending of Raw and SmackDown at the moment is like Raw this week was peak Attitude Era sort of ending with everything happening all over the place. And the number of people I've seen on social being like, the run-ins and the sort of stuff we are going to see in this main event, the shenanigans are going to be off the scale.
So the stipulation here is that if the Bloodline win on night one, it is Bloodline rules for, I think, all of night two of WrestleMania. Whereas if the Bloodline lose, the Bloodline can get involved in night two. That's my understanding of what the stipulations are going to be, right?
Yeah, I thought it was just the main event, but I don't really know.
I would love it to be for all of night two of WrestleMania, because can you imagine how night two of WrestleMania would look if suddenly The Rock's branding was everywhere and it was his face and it was like, and it just really took over the second night? But
do we think the Bloodline are winning this tag match?
I do.
Yeah, I do as well.
Why wouldn't you give Cody the absolute odds to overcome? And I one of our listeners messaged me, a guy called Ryan, and said, think of what could happen on night two if all the Bloodline's sins came back to haunt them. Like in that final main event, if Sammy's running in to because of what's happened to him, if Kevin Owens is running in, like if the entire Ross, if the story that's being pitched is we have to beat the Bloodline, this is our last chance. I mean, you love your Marvel stuff. A big climactic battle.
Oh, Avengers Assemble. It's the Avengers assembling in Endgame. Yes, yeah. And that's, they're the comparisons I've seen drawn on social media of like people call it the Cody Avengers. Like imagine them all assembling on night two and everyone coming back to get their pound of flesh in the Bloodline. I like it a lot. I think it is unique. We've never had anything like this in wrestling before. And I think it's fascinating.
Well, and if the Bloodline is going to go out, let's assume it implodes the night after WrestleMania, where they start laying the groundwork for Rock versus Roman. If the Bloodline's going to go out, this is how that faction has to end. It has to be blown up. It can't just be we broke up and wasn't it sad? It has to end with the biggest of bangs rather than the smallest of whimpers. And this is how you do it. This is how you do it. You just throw everything at it. And considering where we were going to what we're getting, I can't remember a WrestleMania I've been as excited for in my lifetime. I really can't.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. The hype for this one is off the scale.
Now, one of the reasons it's going to be big is because away from the Bloodline, the IC Championship scene is heating up. Six-person gauntlet match on Raw coming up to determine the challenger to Gunther at WrestleMania. JD McDonagh versus Bronson Reed versus Chad Gable versus Ricochet versus Shinsuke Nakamura versus Sami Zayn. Winner goes on to WrestleMania for the IC title. Firstly, justice for Dom, who got chopped to high heavens on Raw and should be in this match.
Dom got a hell of a beating. Like, oh, it almost looked personal.
It was just, I know they know how to work. I know that they come to agreements beforehand, but I don't think there's anything that can prepare you for being chopped by Gunther. Like, £1 million, would you let him give you one chop?
100%. Like, and if anyone says no, I lose all respect. £1 million? My price is a lot lower than that, just so we all know.
What is your price?
£1,000?
What?
Oh, happily. Like, I'm only ahhing about £500.
For £500, you would let Gunther chop you?
Yeah, bare chest. Go for it, big boy.
Oh, my God. You're insane. Maybe this is because you're a professional rugby player. If he chopped me, I would end up in Devon. Like, I would just fly.
such a rogue statement. I'd end up in Devon. You have to really know the geography of the UK to understand that.
That's true. Okay.
I know where you are.
Okay. That's a fair point. My point is, if he chopped me, I wouldn't be getting up and I would need more than five. Would you let Gunther chop you for £100?
No, I've got more self-respect than that, I think.
Like, so you're not...
I'd have quite liked to be able to say that he's chopped me. I'm kind of intrigued how much it hurts. I can't lie.
You must have seen the reddening on the chest. You know how much...
Yeah, I'm just intrigued by it.
Okay, this might be too personal. What is the most painful thing you've done to yourself in rugby?
Oh, that's a good question. What is the most painful thing I've done? My ankle recently was very sore. I came down for a line out, landed on the side of my foot, which wasn't fun. I'd say probably, yeah, numerous ACJ. So when you make a tackle and the AC joint, you just bang it and you end up with a little step in your collarbone for a few weeks. Well, permanently, I've got a load of them. They're sore. And then I've still not got full feeling in my right thumb at the moment because of them, which isn't great. So that's probably the most damning one. My right thumb lives constantly numb.
So my question is, do you think that that most painful injury in rugby would hurt less than being chopped by Gunther?
I think the initial pain of like, wow, that hurt, has been more from the chop. I think the day-to-day pain I live with would be far more from my rugby injuries. I think it would subside with the chop. I think it'd be a bit stingy.
So what we need to do is work out your daily rate for rugby versus what you would pay Gunther to chop you. And I'm going to Dragon's Den this. I'm going to try and find him and pitch him chopping you just to see what happens. Because I think there's money to be made here.
Okay, I'm on board.
Back to the gauntlet match. This is difficult because all these contenders have got a good shout for a WrestleMania moment.
Paul, JD McDonagh.
For the Judgment Day story, I can see them going with that. Okay.
Robinson Reed.
Okay, four of these have got...
Thank you.
So who are you going with? Who would you pick?
Oh, my heart says Sammy. I'm a big Sammy man. I want him to have a big match at Mania. I think it would be a brilliant match. I'm intrigued by... I think Chad Gable has probably had the best story of any of the people who have challenged Gunther in the past. I really enjoyed the Chad Gable story. For a match we haven't seen that I'd want to, though, I'd love to see Shinsuke and Gunther get going in the ring. I think that'd be fascinatingly brilliant. And Ricochet would have an excellent match with him, but I've got no intrigue in that one, to be honest. So, guns my head, I say Sammy, but I'd be happy with any of those three. I don't know if it doesn't end in some sort of tied finish or shenanigans and we get a multi-man match, a triple threat or a fatal four-way.
Let's just say what we're saying here. Ladder match.
No, I think the ladder match is for the US title. I firmly believe that the US title is going on a ladder match. I also think it would be a misstep from WWE to have Gunther lose his IC title without being pinned. I think whoever finishes this, or submitted, whoever finishes this reign needs the rub of making him tap out or pinning him. So I wouldn't do it in a multi-man match where someone else gets pinned, and I wouldn't do a ladder match this one where someone doesn't get to pin him.
Yeah, I agree with that. Someone needs the rub, and boy, you couldn't get a bigger rub than beating Gunther at WrestleMania for this title. I suppose there is a world where he just comes out with the belt and he isn't beaten at WrestleMania. Yeah. That's equally plausible. Speaking of things to do with WrestleMania, here's something I saw the other day that isn't in our run in order, but I thought was interesting. Bianca Belair is 3-0 at WrestleMania. I wouldn't mind her building a new streak.
Yeah, and I completely agree. The streak was fascinating. There will never, ever, ever be a streak like Taker's streak. It was the fact that they stumbled across it and didn't really start referencing it until he was 13-0 shows that it was a mistake that became legendary. I would like them to lead into it, though. I like when they start making things like this. Like, I don't know where Bianca Belair is going to land for this Mania. Coming out of the Rumble, I really thought we were going to get her and Jade Cargill. We haven't seen anything of Jade since, so I'm starting to think we won't. Maybe they don't think she's ready for a one-on-one match. I don't know.
Interesting, though, that go on.
I was going to say, wherever Bianca does land, I would like to see them lean into the fact that she's undefeated at WrestleMania, definitely.
And also, what's going on with Liv Morgan and Becky Lynch? Now, I hope they're not going to go to a triple threat or fatal four-way. That needs to be one-on-one.
You want that. That needs to be one-on-one. It needs to be one-on-one. It's an enormous match. It needs to be one-on-one. We have seen them do this before, and it took away from Ronda versus Becky.
Yeah.
When they shoehorn Charlotte in. By the way, Charlotte Flair, don't understand how her body works. Don't understand how she is 8 weeks post-ACL up and doing squats and leg press. She's clearly a physical freak in the best possible way.
Well, from physical freaks to freaks on the mic, because our first announcements for the Hall of Fame have been made. Bull Nakano, one of the first two inductees, and Paul Heyman, deservedly getting his Hall of Fame announcement in Philadelphia, home of ECW. That speech is going to be something else. Something else.
Drop my microphone. Yes, first of all, great to see Bull Nakano getting the credit she deserves, a real trailblazer in the women's division before it was really cool to have a women's division, if we're being honest. So really good to see.
And not looking like a diva traditionally would have. Yes. So to do it with her body shape and style, fair play.
One of those people you'd love to see mixing it now, wouldn't you?
Oh.
Imagine her in the women's division now.
Yeah.
But yeah, Paul Heyman. Like, love that it's in Philadelphia. Love they pulled the trigger on it, because if you wait, if he's retired, you could be waiting forever, because the man could just do what he does forever. The speech is going to be sensational. I hope one of our listeners said this to me. I can't remember who, because I can never remember who says what to me on social media, but said, give him an hour like they did with Taker, and I could see it. Also, I don't think it matters what you give him. He'll take as long as he likes, I get the feeling. My question to you is, who the hell inducts him?
For me, well, I've seen some people say Tommy Dreamer or an ECW person. I would have Punk do it. I would have CM Punk. If you've got CM Punk there, I would have Punk induct him. I could also see an argument for Stone Cold Steve Austin. That would be good.
That'd be good, yeah. I like the Punk of it. I like that. I did have Punk induct him. I think that'd be very good. But it doesn't matter who inducts him. You've got a very quick job because you're not the one anyone's there to listen to, if we're being honest.
Yeah. And also, just mention Stone Cold. Give me some more sessions. Like, look who has signed.
Please, please do.
We've got Punk back. We've got Jade Cargill. Give me Paul Heyman on the sessions. Like, I am desperate for some more Stone Cold sessions. So I think they would be great.
Yeah, I just miss Stone Cold as well. He's just so fun. Also, it pisses me off how good he is at broadcasting. Like, he has no right to be that good because he's so good at wrestling.
He is a multi-talented man. And he's just so natural. He's got the charisma. He's got the it factor.
Talking of broadcast, I meant to say this earlier, my new favourite thing that's happening is the little interactions between Gunther and Pat McAfee.
Yes.
I'm really enjoying them. Like, with Gunther just stares him down, I'm enjoying that little niche weirdness.
It's a great time to be a fan. We put some questions out on social media. How much did you enjoy AEW Revolution? Was Darby Allin's glass spot too much? And this is the other thing we need to briefly talk about. Is Drew McIntyre the best heel in WWE right now? Ross says, Revolution for me was a 7 out of 10. Darby Allin, too much, but that's just what Darby Allin does. And yes, Drew McIntyre is clearly the best heel in WWE right now. Nick says, for me, Revolution's a 9 out of 10, possibly a 10 out of 10. Not sure what else AEW could have done to give the icon the best send-off. It was fine what Darby did. I like that part of his character. And yes, Drew is definitely the best heel in WWE. As far as Darby Allin goes, he is literally a glut for punishment. He's about to climb Everest, which does not have the best survival rate. On the Drew McIntyre of it all, I sent this to you. Did you see him quoting the Brawl Out press conference on social media after? Drew is so good. And he is making this a must-see match whenever Punk comes back, and probably for the world title.
Yeah, he's not missing, is he? He's just, everything he's firing is hitting its target at the moment. And I think it's a pretty safe bet that Drew McIntyre leaves WrestleMania with that world heavyweight title. I also love how he's, like you say, he's been like, you're too interested in this Bloodline story. Do not forget that I am coming for this title. Do not disrespect this title. Like, don't take that tag match. You've got a world title to defend. Like, don't be so stupid. Don't disrespect me and the title. I like that. It's good from Drew.
It's where heels make sense. Of course he'd say that. Like, what? It'd be like if you were in a massive cup final and you were like, yeah, but I've got to settle an issue with the bloke down the road. It's like, no, which hasn't...
And more so, like, we all know the issues Drew has with the Bloodline. Like, he should be the sort of man who's like, yes, go and take them down. But he's like, no, it's the world title. Like, that shows how important he feels it is. I do think in the last 12 months, they've done a phenomenal job in building this world title. Whatever you want to say about it, whatever issues anyone has with it, you can't say it doesn't feel important now from the way they've presented it over the last 12 months.
I would just like it to look a bit prettier. That's my one critique of it.
I think that when I look in the mirror most mornings, you get used to it, don't worry.
You look in the mirror and say, phenomenal job over the last 12 months.
I know, not that bit. Not that bit.
Everyone should
phenomenal job last 28 years, but I just wish you were prettier.
I just wish you... Well, look, let's do everyone's favourite part of the pod. Something needs to go back to developmental. Something is earning the push. First or second for you, Mr. Beckett?
I'll go first because I had a dead quick mind this week. Really, really quick.
Go for it.
Earning the push is I was told to watch it by my mum. We were told to watch it by my girlfriend's mum. We thought we'll do as our mothers say and watch it. It's really good. It is Kin on BBC. Very, very good.
Kid.
Kin. K-I-N.
Oh, Kin.
It's about Irish mafia, sort of like modern-day Peaky Blinders. It's based in Dublin. Got some really good actors in it, and it's just a really, really good show. We are halfway through the second. There's two seasons of it out at the moment. The second season's just come out, and it's all on iPlayer, because of course it is, and we are halfway through the second series, and it is very, very, very good.
See, here's why you and I are different. I'm going to jump in with my earning the push. The Great Pottery Showdown to...
And there it is.
That's... If it sums us up differently, you've got your Irish mafia. I've got people making ceramic toilets and crying over how beautiful they are.
I have very little to add.
Have you never seen it?
I've heard of it. And you've got to remember, before I went to Channel 4, I was the man who would live tweet the Bake Off.
Can I just say,
love the Bake Off.
What a damning statement by you. Have you ever watched it? I've heard of it.
I have heard of it. That is the truth. I've heard of it, and I haven't watched it.
Okay, and what's your back to developmental?
Oh, it happened to me this morning.
Oh.
Getting up and realising you've got no milk.
Yeah.
I forgot that I decided at 7 o'clock yesterday evening, I finished the milk with a cup of tea, and I thought I probably should go to the corner shop now. I thought, oh no, I'll just go in the morning. And I got up this morning, and I forgot that I'd made that decision. And I opened the fridge, and I went, ah, for God's sake. And by the way, the corner shop is genuinely a 200-meter walk from my house. It took me about 4 minutes to go and get it, but it was a real, real inconvenience.
In my 35 years on this earth, I have learned two things that I stand by. Whenever you think you need to get petrol, get petrol. And whenever you think you need to get milk. Because you will wake up the next morning having not done it, and you'll be more annoyed with yourself that you have to do it. So just do it that time.
They're wise words. I read a book called Book Series with Orphan X. He has his 10 rules to live by. And they're like, how you do anything is how you do everything. Never kill a child. Always believe in the truth. Like, things like this. He's a hitman assassin. Of course he's a hitman assassin.
Oh, I thought this was like one of those self-help books. Like,
No. They're made-up books. I like that yours are, when you need petrol, get it. When you think you need milk, get it.
I've never felt the need to have it written down. Don't kill a child. I've lived, you know, so I
might start selling t-shirts that just say, when you think you need petrol or milk, get it.
Not wrong, though. My back to developmental, I think this is fairly common. Not MOTs, but the fear of MOTs. I've got an MOT on Tuesday.
Yes. You're like, your car's not been an issue at all, but suddenly you're panicking about everything.
Yeah, and not being the blokiest of blokes, I know, surprise, hold your gasps. I just hate going to, even if the mechanics are the nicest men in the world, I am basically coming to them and saying, I know nothing of your world. I am in your hands. Please don't abuse my trust.
I get that intimidation at shoe shops.
In what sense?
I don't get cool shoes. I don't understand what makes a shoe cool. And I walk in and I just feel like all the people who work in the shoe shop and all the other people in the shoe shop are judging my taste in shoes. And on numerous occasions, I've been known to need new shoes, need new trainers, like casual trainers to wear my jeans. And I've been known on numerous occasions to go into a shoe shop and leave after 4 or 5 minutes with nothing because, and I quote, it's all a bit much for me in there.
I don't understand shoe shops. So you know they have one shoe on top of the box.
Yeah.
I never know if I just have to take the box or just the one shoe to the checkout.
I think you're meant to take the box, aren't you? Because you're trying. I don't know.
This is true. I went to the last time I went to a shoe shop and bought them in there. I took the one shoe up and I said, two of these, please. To the man.
Sensational.
Yeah.
Like you're ordering a drink. I am the man, and I don't do this to take the mick out of myself. If I'm buying in person new trainers that I'm going to run in, I will do a little run in the shop.
Oh, for God. The thing is, if I do that at my height, I look silly. No one's going to stop you doing it.
Well, I'm going to run in them. I'm going to try a little run, a little bit of a turn, and I get mocked for it every time. I'm fully confident buying trainers that I need to train in. It's when I've got to try and do something for fashion. I will leave that. I've been known to leave, go and sit and find a coffee shop and just take 20 minutes, just gather my thoughts before going back to the shoe shop.
Looking at your 10 rules for life.
Yeah.
Don't be intimidated at a shoe shop.
Yeah. Don't kill a child. Good. I followed that one today.
Buy shoes. But I'm with you. I'm going to join you in shoes, which I know wasn't your one, but I think that's to be implied.
Brilliant. Good.
Scale of 1 to 10, one last question. How potentially excited are you for Mercedes Moné debuting on Dynamite in a world where she doesn't turn up next week? How disappointed would you be?
Oh, good question. I would give the excitement probably a 7 to 7.5.
Yep.
I'd say I think I like Mercedes Moné. Wrestling is better with Mercedes Moné in it. I think it would be incredibly damning for AEW if she doesn't turn up. I would say it's like 9 to 10 if she doesn't, of how damning that would be, because it seems accepted that she is. It seems they have built this whole show around her, and if she doesn't, it's a terrible, terrible look. And unfortunately, it's the sort of thing they've done before when Tony Khan's got a big announcement. So, no, I am 99% sure she'll be there, but if she isn't, I think it's incredibly damning.
Could you imagine if next week's show was just there introducing the big business belt? That's what it's...
God, don't. And Ted DiBiase was there to bring it out.
She's going to be there. She's going to be there. It's going to be great. We're going to be talking about it next week. Also next week, we'll be talking about Cody and Seth going to SmackDown tonight as we record to accept the Bloodlines Challenge and a whole hell of a lot more. Expect more Hall of Fame announcements. But until next week, time for us to go. He's Charlie _ Beckett on the socials. I'm Jack _ Merley. Rate, review, and subscribe. Thank you for joining us every week. Enjoy your wrestling week, and bye-bye.